Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. There's hot popcorn and cool refreshments in the lobby. And please remember, be courteous to those around you. No talking during the movies.
Welcome to another episode of No Talking During the Movies. A bonus episode, by the way. Once again, featuring my my good friend from TikTok, Screaming Namaste, Marianne. How's it going?
Hi, it's going good. Thanks for having me back.
Of course. I am your host, Stephen Austin, not just to Marianne, but in the spectrum of things. So Tank had to, he was just coming back from vacation and there was some miscommunication. It was just like we weren't sure what we were going to do, essentially. So I was like, well, regardless of what we're going to do, we're going to record this bonus episode because me and Marianne realized we had both recently watched Christopher Reeve movies through recommendations of each other, which it's kind of a funny story. So you recommended to me and just about everybody else in your TikTok live Somewhere in Time.
Yes, it's such a good movie. It's so underrated. I was telling everyone on my TikTok live, I was like, please watch it. It's one of my all-time favorite movies. And you said that you were a huge fan of Christopher Reeve mm-hmm. and that you loved Superman.
Well, exactly. So, like, first off, I had never heard of Somewhere in Time, but you did, like, a basic premise idea, and I was just like, this sounds awesome. I have to check this out. So after I watched it, I loved it, and I'm excited to talk about it today. Today's episode is going to be very just Christopher Reeves heavy. So I loved it, and then I basically told Marianne that I really liked it, and I was just like, and have you seen Superman? And what did you say? It was like bits and pieces.
I remember my parents watching it when I was growing up. So I remember like bits and pieces of it, but I never had sat down as an adult and watched the whole thing. But, you know, Christopher Reeve like carries Somewhere in Time. He's so great. So I was definitely interested in watching a movie that he's like, you know, the lead in again.
Literally the entire time, just because how like charming and charismatic he is. And Somewhere in Time, I was just like, Clark Kent. This is Clark Kent. But just, like, not nerdy, you know?
Yeah, now that I've seen Superman, I totally see
you
that.
You see what I was talking about, right? Yeah. So, yeah, I recommended to you that you watch Superman, and it just worked out that, like, given the craziness with planning an episode and everything, I was just like, well, let's just do another... It was actually your idea, wasn't it? Where I was just like, yeah, I might just talk about some movie that I've watched recently, maybe Somewhere in Time, and you're like... Well, I just watched Superman recently. Like, you kind of mentioned it, didn't you?
Yeah, shameless self-promotion. Same. Got myself back on your podcast a second time.
But the thing is, we do enough TikTok dual lives that we know that, like, we jive well and we can easily talk. So I think it's just going to work perfectly. So let's get right into it. I figured because, you know, it's Superman and it's probably definitely well more known than Somewhere in Time, we'd start with that one.
Sure.
So, first off, what did you just outright enjoy the movie? Did you love it? What did you think of it when you got to watch it?
Yeah, I loved Superman. I thought it was so good. Christopher Reeve was so amazing. It was everything you had said he was. And I really enjoyed it.
And that's the thing. It's like, even though it's from, you know, the 70s, and it's got that heavy cheese, and like his superhero outfit is literally something that looks like you could buy at like... a party city. Like it's pretty low budget on terms of like what makes him look like Superman, but it's so good. And the cheese is just a part of the charm, you know. There's so much like some of his one-liners and stuff. I think there was a moment in the movie where like he essentially like tells this guy climbing a building, like trying to break into the building, he like looks down at him and he's like, something wrong with the elevator, and it makes the guy fall off and he like flies past him and he's like going down, and it's so good.
I agree. And the beginning, just watching him as like, you know, Clark Kent, it's just like, it's so great.
Yeah.
He just plays it up so much, but he just comes off as so sincere that like can't help but love it.
And it's so funny with kind of like how you mentioned, like, in the beginning, it's more Clark Kent heavy. The first, like, 45 minutes of that movie is without him. And it's, like, with, like, the first 20 minutes is, like, with his father and his mother on Krypton before it gets blown up. And, then the next like 25 minutes is like him as a kid, and it's just like, man, they really take the time to get there. And like, what is it, a 2.5 hour movie? And it feels that long.
It felt long. I will say that. I enjoyed it, but it definitely felt long.
And it makes me think, like, if you shortened Krypton blowing up and everything to maybe like a 5-10 minute scene, and the Clark Kent as a kid stuff could be a little bit shorter. I mean, I think just watching the Fortress of Solitude and the North Pole like grow, I feel like that was like 10 minutes of a scene. It's just watching it like build itself.
Yeah.
Like, oof. Yeah. Can we just get to when he's flying?
But I feel like the pacing from a lot of movies from that era, it was, or like similar, you know?
Right.
I feel like movies definitely move a bit faster now.
Were you expecting Marlon Brando to be playing his dad in the beginning? Because I totally forgot about that.
I wasn't really with any expectations. Yeah. I wasn't sure what to expect. I just knew it was like very famous, very well loved. And I remember my parents watching it as a kid. But
that's the other thing. Like the first, a part of the whole like Krypton thing, the first bit of it is like setting up Zod and stuff, and they're not featured until the second movie. So I was just like, man, it's so weird that like even in the 70s they knew they were gonna get a sequel out of this.
Yeah, I was a little confused during that part. I wasn't sure like what role they were going to play or like what was coming from that.
None whatsoever until another movie. And I actually watched Superman 2 the other day, and it literally ends with like the credits start rolling, and before you even get to like directed by, it said Superman 3 coming soon. And I'm like, damn, they knew what they had. They knew they had sequels.
Yeah.
But no, I love the film so much. Really, I think what thrives the most from it is his performance as not only Superman, but also Clark Kent. Like him getting stuck in doors and what is it, that scene with him and Lois in the alleyway. Don't you love that? Like,
yeah, he like popped the bullet.
Yes. Oh my god, it's just so good. Yeah, so enjoyable. Did you like Lois Lane in that movie? Did you like her?
I mean, she was okay. I don't know. She was okay. I didn't really have any strong feelings either way. I guess she was just kind of okay.
She's such a major player in like everything Superman, on like the mythos and everything, and not even just to be like his love interest. It's literally just like she is just so involved in like everything Superman.
Really?
But I think she gave a pretty good performance. My favorite thing about that era of Lois Lane, and I think they've built from that, is Lois Lane has always been like a competent person. She gets herself in situations that she'd need help, but she never like is backing down to like the big strong man or anything. Like she is the one who's like, oh, I'm talking to Superman, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and I really liked that about Lois, and they showed that in this movie. Were you a fan of the villains in this movie?
I mean, I'm not like a huge villain person
that
in general.
True.
I know that's like a big thing with a lot of people. They love, you know, like Disney villains or Sith with Star Wars. I'm not like a huge villain person in general.
Yeah, Lex Luthor himself is another, like, he's like the biggest nemesis of Superman. And it's just, his whole thing is like, I am a man proving I am better than a god, essentially. And it's so weird to see that, like, they made him so cheesy to the point that he's literally going like, I am the greatest criminal mind of the world. And I'm like, you're bragging about that? That's so crazy. But like, honestly, I think the most enjoyable part of all of the villain stuff in that was, his like sidekick Otis. The one who's just stupid and like,
oh my gosh, it drove me crazy. The bathtub or the bathrobe in the pool. He like brings him that. And I'm just like, oh, it's getting wet.
And literally he even says that too. Lex says something like, Otis, for future reference, put on the bathrobe after I get out of the pool.
I know, because as he's putting it on, they're like not addressing it at first. And I'm just like, ah, that looks so uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Like, I could never put that on. It's wet. And then like they referenced it. So it's like, oh gosh.
It's good. It was a part of the movie. It wasn't just like some weird, you know, deciding factor. And honestly, all right, now I just want to get to like the Superman stuff. Did you have like a moment that he just saved somebody or did something that you're just like, duh, that's so awesome.
Like everything he did. Which is like, yay, I love him.
I forgot how, like, there was even a moment that he, like, stops these guys escaping on a boat. And he's just, like, staring at them, like, all, you know, heroic and stuff. And one of them hits him in the back of the head with, like, a wrench. And it makes him, like, shake.
Yeah.
And then the one-liner he says is, like, bad vibrations. Just, like... Oh, my God.
That's the thing. It's, like, so much of it, I feel like... It could be called cheesy, but I feel like Christopher Reeve just sells it so well that it just comes off as very, like, charismatic, you know?
That is very true. And that's something I enjoy about Superman. He's very, like, he's a very lighthearted hero. Mm-hmm. Like, the reason why people consider him or consider Batman so much better is because Batman's, you know, dark and brooding and he's got a dark past and everything like this. And I'm like, Superman is just like... He was born, or not born, but he, you know, was raised on a farm in Kansas, and he just believes in, like, you know, apple pie and, like, cool summer days, and, like, you know what I mean? Like, he's just, like, supposed to be what's good in humanity and the world, and he definitely portrays that in just, like, saving the world from these horrible things with a smile on his face, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of some other, like, big things. You mentioned to me, because you were telling me a little before we started recording, you were telling me that you really got nervous with the helicopter scene.
Oh, my God, that made me so nervous. Like, yeah. I don't like heights.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't like heights. So I was, like, very nervous during that scene.
And they build it up so much. Like, the entire...
They do!
The entirety of the scene, like, of the helicopter going wrong, I swear, is while he's in the elevator. Like, he's just, like... It shows him get in an elevator, everything goes wrong with the helicopter, and by the time he, like, gets outside, Lois is already, like, hanging from the door.
I know.
He's just like, oh, better change.
Yeah, it's so suspenseful.
Yeah, I think it was really well done. I love just about everything about that movie, and I think his heroics are really the most enjoyable part. I think if you just took, somebody could probably make a YouTube video of just every Superman heroic moment from the movies, and it doesn't have any of the, like, dialogue or anything like that. It's just him being Superman. I think I would watch that on repeat, like, a billion times. Like, him saving a cat from a tree, him holding up the California fault, like, at the end of the movie, which is, like, crazy.
Yeah. I think the music, like, helps build those, you know, good feelings also while he's doing all that stuff. The score is just so great.
John Williams killing it as always.
As always.
I remember somebody asked me not too long ago there. It might have been on one of our TikTok duet lives that we did. And it was like, what is your favorite John Williams score? It could have just been on one of yours, and I was typing, and then I put all these, like, stereotypical, like, oh, Jurassic Park, Star Wars, you know, and then somebody was like, oh, man, I really love the Superman theme, and I was like, how can I forget about the Superman theme? That's, like, so good.
Yeah, I know, John Williams, oh, my gosh, he's done so much, like, Indiana Jones, I'm a huge fan.
Oh, my God,
of-
yeah. Yeah, I just love it so much. Well, we've definitely... mentioned, like, really realistically the best part of the classic Superman movie is Christopher Reeve. Like, he just totally. He sells it so much.
How many Superman movies did he do?
Let's see, there's Superman 1, 2, 3, 4. I think it's just 4, maybe 5, but yeah, he did a good amount, more than, you know, any other Superman has been able to do. Like,
yeah, I definitely want to keep watching. It was so good.
Well, I'll tell you, I watched Superman 2 recently, and it wasn't great, but there was still plenty of enjoyable parts. And that's when the guy Zod comes back, and, you know, his lackeys, and they essentially also are, like, three evil Supermen, essentially, so he has to fight and defeat them. And there's some great, like, effects that they do for the era. Like, there's a whole scene where they're, like, throwing cars through buildings and stuff, and I'm just like, how did they do this for this era? Like, it doesn't look great, but it's also like, damn, good for them. Like, big budget film. But yeah, I mean, I would recommend still going and watching them. I feel like they just get cheesier and cheesier, and
I was going to say, which is your favorite out of all the Superman movies?
The first one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then if we're talking like any modern ones involved too, the most recent Superman film, which was Man of Steel, with Henry Cavill, it's good. There are some things that I have problems with as a Superman fan, but I would definitely recommend. Realistically, what I would want probably you to do who haven't seen those, I would recommend you watch Superman 2 with Christopher Reeve and then watch Man of Steel, because Man of Steel has the same villains from Superman 2. So it's like, oh, it's cool to see, you know, how the eras of like, here's a modern day Superman fighting modern day Zod, and here's Christopher Reeves fighting, you know, their version of Zod in the 70s or whatever. So I think that'd be a really cool viewing party. I might have to do that is watch Man of Steel next. But anyways, yeah, I would definitely recommend that, and that you watch the rest of the Superman films. They're really enjoyable overall.
Yeah, I definitely plan to. I really liked it.
But you got me into, so I'm already a time travel fan. Like, really, I love everything time travel. And I had no idea this movie existed. And you basically gave a very simple premise for those who don't know. I was going to say, do you want to give us the premise again just for people who haven't heard of this movie?
Yeah, somewhere in time, Christopher Reeve plays this guy who's sort of going through a hard time. He goes to this older hotel, the Grand Hotel in Michigan, and he sees this old portrait of an actress who'd played on the stage there, and he becomes obsessed with it, and he wants to meet her, and he tries to time travel.
It's crazy. Like, but there's also this level of, like... the reason why he's so obsessed is almost because it's almost he like feels they belong together.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying not to give away too many spoilers. Yeah, he does. Right. He feels like he has known her or that there's some sort of connection. He just doesn't understand it. And as it goes on, he becomes he understands it more.
Right. And it's this weird, almost magical sense throughout the entire film about this goal that he has of time traveling. And what era would it be in? He goes, what, to the 1912, right?
It's that's 1912. The era. Yeah, because he wants to meet the actress who's played by Jane Seymour, who is also amazing. I love her.
The movie is super, super enjoyable. I was not, like, I went in expecting, like, a fun time travel film with Christopher Reeve. What is it? It literally takes, I think, more than half of the movie just for her to like be involved in really any way.
Really, she's only in really the middle to the end.
Yeah. But he is very, very charismatic. And the other thing is, I think maybe from a modern day, people would look at this and they would think like maybe his behavior could be considered creepy if it was. But the thing is, if it was literally anybody else, it could be. Because at no point did I think like he's a crazy person or, you know, anything like that. He sells
think,
it so well.
I agree. I think Christopher Reeve's like charisma and sincerity make it not feel weird. And the second thing is that, you know, he has certain encounters with people before he tries to go back in time and certain experiences that lead him to believe that this needed to happen or, you know, it had to be a certain way. So he's operating under that, knowing those certain things.
There are some fantastic moments in this film.
Sorry, that was my cat.
No, it's okay. Oh, kitty, kitty. No, there are some absolute amazing moments in this film. Some, you know, just really great performances all around.
Yeah, and speaking of great performances, Christopher Plummer was in it also. Another amazing actor.
Which was so, that was another thing that, like, I mean, he, I don't know. It was like going into it, I was just like, oh, yeah, that's Captain Von Trapp from Sound of Music. Because that's where I know Christopher Plummer from the best. And that's still an era that he looks very similar to how he did then. So that was just very enjoyable to see him again. The set pieces are amazing. You mentioned that it was at the Grand Hotel in Michigan?
Yeah, they filmed on location there in Mackinac Island. And what's funny is on that island, you can't have any cars. It's just like some local ordinance. You can only have like horses and horse-drawn carriages and stuff.
Even today?
So the movie had, Yeah, even today. So when they were filming, they had to get special permission to bring cars for like the present day scenes. But then that's what made it so easy to do like the 1912 scenes because there was already no cars allowed
Because
on the
there's no
island.
modern. Oh, that's so cool. That's awesome. That must be like a really cool place too. It's a beautiful looking hotel.
I've actually been there. It's amazing. I
Really?
went there because I'm a huge fan of the movie.
Oh,
Yes.
that's so cool. Was it like some sort of event, or did you just want to go and see?
So they do somewhere in time weekends for the diehards. I don't know if I
That's
sound like a
so
huge
cool.
nerd now.
No, that's so cool sounding. 'Cause it's realistically, I could imagine this movie almost if it got more exposure, I feel like it could have become like an easy cult classic. It probably is a cult classic.
I think so. There was tons of people there when I went.
Yeah, so that's got to be so cool. So you got to go to the hotel where they shot the movie. I'm sure it was just as beautiful in,
It's
real life.
gorgeous. It's gorgeous. And because the hotel is so old, it's just like really, really beautiful inside and
Okay, what was I gonna ask next? Oh, for the like Somewhere in Time weekend, did they like do anything special for it? Was it like
Yeah, they did like a screening so you could like watch the
Oh, that's
movie
cool.
there. Like
Yeah.
it was so cool. It was so cool. And like some people were like dressed up like full on like old fashioned
No
type.
way, like
Yeah, it was
1912.
so cool to see.
That's so cool. That would be so much fun, I think. I bet it was a great time, especially just like being at that location must have been really, really cool.
Yeah, totally. It really was. I'd love to go back someday. It's so
Yeah.
beautiful.
I was going to say the other thing that I think is the most notable aspect of this movie, not only just like the time travel stuff, which the explanation of time travel, we won't, explain it so it's not a spoiler. It's very different from any other time travel movie.
Yeah, it's so different. And that's really what I loved about it. Because I know in a lot of movies, it's like, oh, you need something to help you time travel.
Right.
But the way they explain it here, it makes it seem kind of plausible.
It makes it seem almost like a spiritual thing was time
Yeah,
traveling,
totally. Yeah.
which is very interesting because it's like, I don't know, the idea of like a spiritual thing also involving in this such a sci-fi aspect. And whenever you think of sci-fi, you think of, big control boards with blinking lights that, shoot lightning from it and
Yeah,
that transports you back in time. And it's
it's
nothing like
very
that.
much like a mental thing here, which I think is so interesting because it makes it seem like maybe anyone could do this.
Yeah,
You know, it's not like
realistically,
Back to
yeah.
the Future. We don't need plutonium.
Yeah, we
Like,
don't need plutonium and a really souped up DeLorean. We just need our thoughts in a dream. You know what I mean? Like, seriously, the movie was very enjoyable on their explanation and their depiction of time travel and how the rules of time, like they set out the rules very early on, how it would work and what you need to do. And oh man, it's so interesting. And I think that's the thing about the movie that stands out the most to me is not only, the great performances and the fantastic, story, but it's also that it's like a very creative way to do time travel. Because everything time travel now is, like we said, it's some device, it's some machine, it's something like that. But the fact that this is like very different in how it's done. It's like I've been obsessed with time travel forever and I've never heard of this story. And this is now one of my favorite like time travel stories because it's just so interesting. Because you didn't need the device, you just need thoughts.
Yeah, I totally agree. I totally agree. I love their explanation for it.
Yeah.
And like the details they put into it also to make it seem like even more plausible. Like all the
Right.
steps he goes through to try to learn how to do this. It's just, I love all the details. And really throughout the whole movie, there's so many little details, like people he sees in the present that he sees in the past, and details that help him be able to do this or help him know that he should do this or that she would want him to do this. And I just love that throughout the movie because then the more you watch it, you know to like look for those things.
Yeah, exactly. The things that, like, how many things in the beginning of the film, when time travel isn't even a concept yet in the film, how many things are technically being set up for later?
Yeah,
And that's so
exactly.
incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, very, very cool. Very cool premise. like I said, they set up the rules pretty early on, so like you understand as you're going through the movie, even when you're caught up into the story that's taking place in 1912, you still understand like he is not from this time. Mm-hmm. And the movie reminds you of that, and it's very brilliant, I think, the way they do it.
So I have to know, because you said you watched it for the first time, what did you think of the score?
That was actually where I was going next.
Oh, really? Oh,
I was going to say that the score of the film is very, I think the best word to do it is like memorable, because there's something very, first off, a certain type of music. I'm trying to remember the name of it. It's essentially a plot point almost. A certain song that he likes to listen to.
Oh, the Rachmaninoff.
Rachmaninoff. That was what it was called.
The Rhapsody of Paganini.
I will never remember that. But it's a very, very, just beautiful piece of music. And that also becomes a part of the movie in a very cool way. Mm-hmm. And they had some great, like, there was like, the main theme of the film was great. And it's,
I feel like the main theme of the film has such like a haunting sound to it almost, which works so well for a time travel movie.
Well, exactly. There's got to be this level of almost eeriness to the thing he's able to do.
Yeah.
There's plenty of highs and lows of this movie. Lows being like emotional lows. It's a very emotional film, I think. And that's the other thing, and I'm sure people could have put this together with how we've kind of been skirting around it, but you've mentioned before it's like one of the most romantic films you'd ever seen. And I basically went in not even thinking about that. I was just focusing primarily on like the time travel and everything, and I was very interested in that. And really, it's just like, you know, it's funny that Tank, the guy I'd normally do the podcast with, he's not here because he's like a big romantic film kind of guy.
Really?
So there's a part of me that I'm wondering if he's seen it. I'll have to ask him on the next episode if he's seen Somewhere in Time, because like I said, it's a very emotional film. And I caught myself a couple of times just being like,
really?
Yeah, it's really good. It's really good. And I'm not going to lie. I the other day I was like, I could just put it on again right now. It's just that good. And I was happy, by the way, I bought it too.
Nice.
Yeah. When I went to rent it, on the site that I normally rent things from, Vudu, they actually had it on sale for like $6. And I was like, easy buy.
Yeah, it definitely gets better the more you watch it. Like I was saying, you know those things to look for. And you'll notice like other things too. Like if you do any reading online, like about the movie at all, I don't know. I love the IMDb trivia stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So I always like read all the trivia things.
And I love those things.
Yeah, they said that Christopher Reeve hadn't seen the portrait of Jane Seymour, the one he becomes, like, obsessed with.
Oh, really?
He said he didn't want to see it until they were ready to shoot the scene where his character sees it for the first time, because he wanted to have a very genuine response.
So
the emotions of him seeing it and just, like, falling
like
in love.
It's, like, all for the first time.
Real, yeah, because he hadn't seen it.
He's so great. We've barely even talked about just how charismatic he is in this movie, but, like, he really, he sells that he's, I wouldn't say desperate, but he sells that he is so driven to obtain the unattainable time travel. He sells that so well, and I think the movie could not have been nearly as great or successful without his performance.
I totally agree, because even once he like gets there, he has to try to figure out how to like find her, how to get through, you know, life in 1912, how to like talk to people and like do these things. And, you know, there's all these stumbling blocks with, you know, Christopher Plummer's character.
Right.
And he just comes across as very, like you were saying, very much like Clark Kent in certain ways.
Yes. And that's the thing. I feel like if you put any other actor of that era in his role, it would not have been nearly as good. Of a movie. I think that is a role that was absolutely like made for him.
Yeah. I totally agree. Because he really carries it. He's like the one thing that, you know, we're following his journey from the beginning to the very end.
And it's primarily just him and most of it. Even when she becomes like the other character, like, I don't. And maybe you won't agree with me here. I don't feel like anybody else in this movie is a main character other than him. Like, he is the main character and everybody else is a side character, including the love interest. You know what I mean?
It's a really good point because we watch it all through his perspective. You know, there's never scenes of like just her or what she's going through with this stuff. It's always through his perspective. And a lot of it is even when he's by himself, you know, when he's trying to piece these things together, like, who is this woman? How can I do this? And then when he's there, you know, his internal monologue of what do I say to her? You know, I just did this. Now what?
We watch him talking to himself for a lot of this movie. And it never feels like a guy who's just sitting in a room talking to himself.
Yeah, it never feels weird. Yeah. He just is so charismatic and sincere. So, he really pulls off.
If we haven't sold you on it yet, please watch Somewhere in Time. I cannot believe my first time hearing about this was from your live. I'm so happy that I did hear about it because it's just so enjoyable. Not only as a romantic film, but as a time travel film and a great, great Christopher Reeve film.
So, yeah, I would definitely say if you like Superman, you would love this.
Absolutely. And it's all from his performance, really. And obviously a lot of other things that build it up. But boy, is it him. He sells it.
Yeah, he carries it.
Well, are there any other, we mentioned just time travel films and you said Back to the Future. Any other time travel films that you really love that are on par with this or better than this for you?
No, it's not a film, but I've been really into the TV show Outlander.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You actually got me to watch Outlander. And
it was another recommendation from my live, right?
It was.
Watching Outlander. We have this whole Discord where we all just talk about it now.
I actually recommended it the other day to Tank on the podcast.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know if you watched it, but I did say, like, look, I think you of all people would probably enjoy it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that show has so much history to it. So much, like, Scottish history. And that's really what appealed to me also because I love history.
Right. And I learned so much from it, so.
I did, too. I knew nothing about the Jacobites.
Yeah, I had no idea what that was. So,
Same.
But, yeah, time travel-wise, I think Back to the Future is just one of the, you know, absolute greatest.
I love Back to the Future.
A time travel movie, I love that. I think, like, nobody... like not a lot of people I've seen is the classic movie The Time Machine. It was from like the 60s, not the remake one, and that is another like pretty cheesy, like even the ending's like a little iffy, but like the concept of how things happen in this movie is just like it feels like movie magic of the era, and that's what makes me love it so much. And at the same time, it's a time travel movie, so
yeah,
works out. But
that's cool.
Yeah, so I enjoyed, you know, Somewhere in Time. I'm happy you enjoyed Superman. I'm happy you're thinking about going to watch more Superman, and I'm sure...
I definitely want to. I've been doing this whole Marvel watch through, so I would love to branch out and do some other superhero movies.
Do you think at the end of the day you're going to be... Oh, my God. Do you think at the end of the day you're going to be like, I like DC more than Marvel?
I guess we'll see, won't we?
I guess we'll see. And that's the thing. I've never been the one who's like, no, one's better than the other. I think Marvel does movies better. Like, they've just had a better track record with a modern movie era. But, I mean, like, the classic DC films, like, people cannot take away from, like, the first Superman, the first Batman. Like, those are just fantastic, fantastic films. And many things shot off from those. And, you know. Marvel's only working out now, and DC's not working out too great right now, but they're catching up. Have you ever seen Shazam?
No.
Oof, you would love Shazam. That is a DC film about a young kid who gets the powers to become a superhero, and literally by saying the magic word Shazam, lightning strikes him, and he becomes like this big buff. He becomes Zachary Levi. Do you know that actor?
Oh, yeah.
He becomes Zachary Levi, and he's, like, this big buff, and he's this, like, heroic-looking guy, like, with this bright red suit and a big lightning bolt on his chest and a cape, and he looks so heroic, but he's also has the mind of, like, a 13-year-old.
Okay.
So he's like, this is awesome. So it's really, really well done. And that was a modern DC film. And I was just like, they got a couple of good ones. Like Wonder Woman's great. So who knows?
Yes, I really want to see Wonder Woman. I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, it's still, in my opinion, probably the best of the DC films we've gotten. Gal Gadot is just a fantastic. She carries that movie very, very well. And I've never been a huge, like, you know, big fan of Wonder Woman or anything, but that is just she kills it. So
cool. Looking forward to it.
Awesome. Well, Marianne, thank you again so much for joining me on another episode, a bonus episode this time. That's why it's we're only a little past 30 minutes. That's not bad.
Well, little, thanks for having me.
Little bite-sized episode. Thank you so much again for joining. Thank you, everybody, so much for watching and listening on any platform. Follow us on YouTube and all that good stuff. But, yeah, that's going to do it for today's episode. I know me and Tank are going to be talking about Mortal Kombat in the next episode, which he was telling me basically throughout his entire vacation. I am very excited to shit on this movie. So that's going to be fun. I guess you guys got a preview of what he feels about Mortal Kombat. But all right, that's going to do it for me. Marianne, once again, thank you so much for being here and showing me somewhere in time.
Yeah, thank you, Steve.
Of course. Well, that's going to do it, everybody. Once again, I am your host, Steven Austin. Have a great day, everyone.